Amen. Why don't y'all have a seat? Good morning, everyone. How are you all? Yes? All right. Well, good to see you. Real quick announcement. February 21st, we're starting a new Wednesday night get-together here, 6:30s, for about, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 weeks, whatever. 12 weeks, I think. So what we're going to do, we're going to get together, and we're going to have super uncomfortable conversations. And we're basically going to allow you to anonymously ask any question about anything, and we will all talk about it. And so it's going to be a great time. Dan will be in his element. He'll be here, face painted, big, huge number one thing on his finger. He's just going to love it. And so we're going to do that starting February 21st, Wednesday nights, at 6:30. There will not be a meal, but you can bring a snack to share if you want. We will not have childcare, and due to the topic of some of the conversations, you might want to have somebody watch your child so that they aren't listening in. And so, you know, there are certain things. My son won't be there. It's an 18 and plus, 18 and over. 22 and older. Oh, should I make it so that Forrest can't be here? Okay, it's 23 and older. And so if you're over 23, you're invited to come. That starts Wednesday the 21st. So Patriots or Eagles? You both said it at the same time.
He's plus five.
Okay. All right. Eagles plus five. All right. So it's Super Bowl Sunday. Thank you. It's like the unofficial national holiday. You know, I say thanks for coming out on this big holiday. I remember when I first started like speaking in churches, very early on, I was like 20, 21 years old and starting in ministry, and I would travel and speak at churches. Every Super Bowl Sunday, I was invited to come speak because the pastor would stay home because he knew nobody was going to be there. And so I would come and I would go speak at churches almost every Super Bowl Sunday. So thanks for coming out. Hey, let's put our thing up here. Let's say it together, guys. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what we're all about as a church. We're loving, we're growing, we're going, and I love being a part of a church that's loving, growing, and going, right? And so this morning what we're doing is we're starting a brand new five-part series, and ironically, with our uncomfortable conversations coming up, this five-part series is called Hard Conversations. So it's all about conversations this season, isn't it? It's all about being able to talk to other people. And what we're doing is we're talking about how we can reflect Jesus in difficult, often divisive conversations of our day. And it seems like there are plenty, aren't there? Like, our culture today is filled with opportunities to disagree with other people. I don't think we've ever had more opportunities to disagree with other people. I mean, just look at Facebook. Anybody ever get mad when you look at Facebook? Has anybody here ever commented on a Facebook post and your commented unintentionally turned into like some sort of weird passive-aggressive argument? You know, yes, okay, a few people. You know, how do we stand for what we believe in but do it in love? And that's a super important question. We need to be able to do that as Christians. We need to be able to stand for what we believe in, and we need to be able to do it in love. I remember a time growing up, you know, they used to say, and if you're old like me, you probably remember this. They would say, never talk about politics or religion. You guys remember that phrase? If you go to a party, if you're at a family gathering, if you're out and about, never talk about politics or religion. That was the big thing, because if you could avoid those two topics when you're at a party or you're something like, you can avoid some conflict, right? Never talk about politics. Now it seems like that's all people talk about. You know, and I remember when people would say that, and those topics were off limits, because especially with strangers, if you met a stranger, you didn't talk about politics or religion with them, because the potential was there for arguments and division. And today, thanks to social media, we have it's almost like not only do we talk about those things, but we broadcast our opinions, right, of those things, as if we possess the absolute truth on these topics, right? We possess the absolute truth about them, and everyone who disagrees with us is wrong, right? It's just dead wrong. And in fact, it becomes a lot less like a conversation and more like you're sort of like tossing truth grenades at each other, you know, or what we believe to be the truth. You know, instead of talking and relating and trying to understand each other, we're tossing grenades at each other. And I wanted to show you, these show up in my Facebook feed all the time. And I want you to understand that I filtered out some of the more offensive ones. But this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. This week in science, we've got this rover in space. Meanwhile, in religion, men with guns shooting down innocent people. That's the kind of stuff that shows up in my Facebook feed. Is that a conversation? Is it not? No. Let's go to the next one. Okay? There's only one way to stop radical Islamic terrorism in the USA. Stop voting for the Democrats. Is that a conversation? Is anybody offended yet? Okay? That doesn't sound, that's not, but this is the type, this is how we communicate our beliefs in today's society and on social media. Let's go to the next one. I'm like really smart and stuff. Okay? Ripping on one of Trump's tweets. Okay? What'd you say? That's all. Okay. All right. So we know which side you stand on. So what's the next one? Let's see the next one. Capitalism tends to destroy its two sources of wealth, nature and human beings, Karl Marx. Now, okay, can I just pause here for a second? No, I won't. But who quotes Karl Marx? The father of communism. Let's quote him like he's an inspirational source. Okay, next. Busted. Super PAC linked to Mitch McConnell took $2.5 million from a pro-Putin Ukrainian businessman during the 2016 election season. If you want McConnell to be investigated for collusion with Russia, comment yes and share, because your yeses and shares will change the world. Okay, next. Nagasaki 60 years after nuclear bomb, Detroit 60 years after liberals took over. Is that... All right. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Jesus said, love your enemies. Huh, my guy beheaded his. Is that a great way to reach out to Muslims? Do you think that any Muslim in the whole world would go, wow, that's a loving statement. Let's reach across. Okay, let's do the next one. Racism was almost dead in America until Obama. Do you agree? Karen's like, I got the vapors. So, yes. So, all right, next one. I know he raped you, Sally, but what's really important is the Senate seat, Republican Jesus. Yay. Yeah, right? Let's go to the next one. Yeah, I know, right? But this is our country. This is how we communicate. Don't allow them to reframe. Take a knee is being a debate about the flag. It's a protest of police. Because that's another one. So taking a side on a hashtag or taking a side on a social issue, and rather than having a conversation, right, instead of saying, "Go, hey, sit down, let's try to understand each other." It's a meme. All right, I think we got one or two more? Three more. Okay, go, let's go. Would you celebrate if Hillary and Barack were arrested for treason? And then I love how, like, they can take a picture, right? And it's like a video frame. And you know what? If you take 5 minutes of video and go frame by frame, you're gonna find a picture that illustrates the emotion or the stance that you're trying to get at, okay? So, okay, next one. Okay, lie like a grog, get rid of free press, ignore the cons. He's reading a book called How to Be a Dictator by Vladimir Putin, okay? Does anybody else feel the awkwardness rising in the air right now? I can feel a palpable offense. And okay, I think we got one more. Is that? Okay, now these people going to the bathroom on Ford and Chrysler or on Chevy. So not only that, it's not just politics, it's even cars, okay? And we didn't even get into sports teams because they get really nasty. Okay, I think, is that the last one? All right, okay, you black that out now that everybody's just thoroughly offended and stirred up by that. But as Americans, especially if you're on Facebook a lot, we digest a steady diet of that. And what do you think that does to our hearts? What do you think that does with our desire to reach across to people who disagree with us? Do you think that unites us or do you think that divides us? It's divisive, isn't it? And what did Jesus pray? I mean, one of Jesus' last prayers, and I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. One of Jesus' last prayers was, God, let them be as one. God, let them be as one, okay? Let them be unified. And so what we do is we do this. And here's the thing. Every one of those that I pulled down were from people who claimed to be believers. So I didn't just like reach out to, you know, whatever. I think there might have been one or two from a person who's not a believer, but the rest were from believers. And so we have to understand, as believers, man, we've got to represent Jesus better than that, right? And so does anything about these posts say that there's a desire to understand each other, to honor each other, to even understand the issue outside of what's spoken within our opinionated echo chambers? Because don't we do? We live in echo chambers, right? We hang with people who tend to believe like we believe. We tend to hang with people that have the same political persuasions as us. We tend to hang with people that side with us on these hashtag issues and whatever. And so we kind of live in these echo chambers where we're just all kind of saying the same thing. And it's funny because, like, if aliens from another planet were hovering over our planet right now, watching the way that we converse and watching the way that we talk about divisive issues, they'd think we're all nuts. They'd be like, they deserve to be invaded, all right? Let's go wipe their minds. And, they would think that we're nuts. And so the interesting thing is that this division, like I said, it even takes place around Christians. Contrary to popular belief, I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to blow your mind right now. Get ready to have your mind blown, okay? We're not all Republicans. We're not all white, right? We don't all agree on everything. And so it's funny because there's this perception, even when you hear Christians talking about Christians, like, oh, yeah, man, I don't know what's up with Christians, man. They're a bunch of white Republicans and they all believe this and that. And it's like, that's crazy. That's crazy because you can't take a look at, what is it, like 2.5 billion people in the world are Christians? 2.2 billion people in the world? Really? And we're all white Republicans who believe the same thing. I mean, that alone, when people talk about Christians, how they're all the same, and that's nuts. That's crazy. Because you can't get 22 Christians to agree on the same thing, much less 2.2 billion. Okay? We're not all the same. We don't all agree. We don't all believe the same thing. We don't all have those same political affiliations, stuff like that. But Jesus is super concerned that we get along. Jesus is super concerned that we all get along, even when we don't agree with each other. And so one of the last prayers that Jesus ever prayed when he was on earth, well, I mean, we're talking, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows he's about to be betrayed. He's literally like sweating blood. And one of the last things he prays is this. In John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, he says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. So Jesus is talking about every Christian through the ages, all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one. And he's talking to his Father, Heavenly Father, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. All right? So there's something about when we're in unity, not necessarily in our political affiliations and how we stand on social issues, whatever, but when we're in unity, when we love each other, when we honor each other, there's something about that that displays to the world that what we have is real, that we're not just faking or that we're not just part of a club. There's something about that ability to love each other in the midst of divisive topics and all sorts of whatever that shows the world that we're in Christ, that we're genuine, that we're real believers. And notice that Jesus didn't go and he didn't pray, God, I pray that everyone will agree. God, I pray that everyone who will ever believe will agree. He didn't say that. He said that we'd be in one, as one, that we would be in unity, okay? That we would love each other. And so how do we do this? And can I just say, it doesn't always come naturally. Sometimes it takes a shift in mindset. Sometimes it takes a shift in the way that we view other people. How do we do that? How do we have effective, discerning, loving conversations with people who hold very rigid beliefs and opinions that seem to be the exact opposite of our own? We're going to talk about that, okay? But let's pray. God, we love you. We pray, God, that your words from Scripture would come alive in us today. God, we pray that we would be changed and transformed by them. God, we pray that you would be glorified in our conversation and glorified, God, in the way that we treat others, see others, value others, God, even others that just hold beliefs that offend us. God, you are awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to start off. We're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. And it says this: now we see things imperfectly. Would you all say that with me? Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then, now he's talking about when we are in eternity, when we are with God in eternity, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Okay? So what does that mean for us? If you remember one thing this morning, remember this. God has all truth, but we don't have a perfect understanding of it. We don't have a perfect understanding of the truth. Listen, most of us don't have a perfect understanding of our own jobs. Right? You ever go to work some days and you're about 80% sure what your job is? You know? Or we don't even have a perfect understanding of parenting. I've been a parent for 22 years. I don't have a perfect understanding of parenting. Okay? Much less massive issues like, you know, the effects of religion on the global, you know, global culture. I don't have an understanding of politics perfectly. I don't have an understanding of socialism. I don't understand. You know, I don't know. I don't have a perfect understanding. So how ridiculous would it be for me to post some sort of absolute meme, some sort of statement going, you're all wrong and I'm right on this issue? I don't even have a perfect understanding of myself. I look in the mirror, I think I'm nuts most days, you know. So why would I stand and go, I know the absolute truth. Listen, there's a few things that I know. I know that Jesus loves me, right? I know that, okay? And there's a few things scripturally that are part of what was called the Nicene Creed, you know, years ago, the Nicene Creed, that Jesus was born of a virgin. Okay, I know that. Okay, I believe that. That's good. I believe that he lived a sinless life. Okay, I know that. I'm going to stand on that. That's one. I know that he died for my sins, and I know that he rose again in you know, 3 days, and that he sent the Holy Spirit. Okay, I know those things. But you know what? Beyond that, beyond those basic things, I'm still trying to figure it out, right? And so we have to understand that God has all truth. God knows all truth. God knows. But we don't have perfect understanding of it, and we won't have perfect understanding of it until we see Jesus face to face, all right? We simply won't understand the truth until the next life. A friend of mine likes to say, he says, you know what? When we get to heaven, we're all going to find out we were wrong. Right? Because we're all going to find out we're wrong somewhere. And we have to understand that. So this idea of arguing and taking these just really rigid, dogmatic stances on things is a bit futile. And all through history, even, you know, Christians, they've brought their biases, they've brought their culture and their opinions into the interpretation of Scripture. Right? So they've read the Scripture, they've read the Bible, and they've brought with their understanding of the Bible their biases, their opinions, their cultures with them, okay? And it's led to some pretty tragic things, right? Religious wars, crusades, even back in the day, biblical justifications for slavery. Now, there's not a single person in this room right now that would go, that's nuts. Or, you know, I mean, that wouldn't say that's nuts. You know, there's not a single person in this room right now would go, hey, according to Scripture, I should have slaves and that's okay. And if you don't like it, tough, you're wrong, okay? Thanks, Obama. Whatever, you know. And so none of us would do that. But you know what? 100 years ago, that wasn't a crazy thought. You know. And so we have to understand, we don't understand all truth. One day we will. Okay? But we don't. Even today, there are people here, there are churches here in the Quad Cities, in our, you know, right here, who take a really hard stance on something called Calvinism. Y'all familiar with that expression, Calvinism? There's two kind of really dominant thoughts about our salvation. One thought is Calvinism, and Calvinists believe that it doesn't matter what you believe right now. Someday God's irresistible grace is going to get a hold of you, and you're not going to be able to resist it, and you're going to give your life to Jesus. And once you give your life to Jesus, once you are saved, you will always be saved, and there's nothing you could ever do to lose that salvation. Okay? And then there's another thought, and it's called Arminianism. And Arminianists believe that you have a free choice. You have a choice. And you have a choice to follow Jesus, and you can make that choice. And you know what? If you choose to walk away from God and forfeit your salvation, you can do that, right? And so there are churches here in the Quad Cities that are such hardcore, staunch Calvinists that that they tell their people, don't even associate with somebody who doesn't believe the way we do. Don't even, you know what? Don't go visit another church that has an Arminianist bend to it. Don't talk to anybody else. Don't, you know? And they're that. And here's the thing. And I'm gonna flip my notes over for a second. Can I just tell you? Is not God bigger than just two lines of thinking? Don't we serve a God that's much bigger than Calvinism and Arminianism? You know, He's massive. And so to take this hard, staunch, thought on it's this or it's that and it's nothing in between, just it's that's just not Jesus, okay? And so we have to understand that. So it's not what Jesus prayed in John 17, and it shows a real kind of arrogance. It shows a real arrogance that just ignores 1 Corinthians 13. And 1 Corinthians 13 saying, our knowledge is partial and incomplete. Our knowledge is, so why stand and go, I have a complete understanding of this? Okay, 1 Corinthians 13 says, listen, our knowledge is partial and incomplete. All right, and so how do we talk about religious and political and cultural issues without yelling at each other and causing greater divides? Okay, so the first thing is this. Understand that the goal is not to convince the other person that we are right and they are wrong. If you're going to have a conversation, a true conversation, and you're going to bring unity in the body, and you're going to talk to somebody about something that is potentially divisive, understand, the goal is not to convince them that they're wrong and you're right. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody like that? Where it's just like we're not even talking. It's really, you're just sort of like, broadcasting your thoughts on this, and it really doesn't matter what I have to say, okay? And so we've all had those conversations before. And I remember one time years ago. I think I might have just got married, so we're talking 25 years ago. I was in a park in Boulder, Colorado, and we were just kind of doing some blessing people in the park and that sort of thing. And I had a guy come up to me and engage me in conversation. And it was like that. It was just, every time I just tried to respond or say anything, he'd just sort of turn it back around, and you're wrong, and I'm right. And eventually, I just remember stopping and going, I just realized something. You don't want to have a conversation about this. I realize now that you just want to interrupt me every time I talk, that you don't want to have a conversation, that this isn't about, understanding each other. So I'm done talking to you. I just turned around and walked away, talked to somebody else, use my time a little more productively, And so it's not about convincing the other person that they're wrong and you're right. You might be both partially right and you might be both partially wrong. Even if the other person is totally wrong from a biblical standpoint, and they're just completely wrong from a theological standpoint, it doesn't mean that they're a bad person. Somebody being wrong with something doesn't mean that they're a bad person and that you should just, post a meme on Facebook that arrogantly discredits their beliefs. We all think that if somebody's wrong and you're right, it's okay to make a broadcast like that and, drop the mic. All that does is just increase the division, okay? And so our goal should be to have a conversation that draws us together and not tears us apart. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words makes tempers flare. Okay? Now, listen, I'm 100% positive that when other people on Facebook saw those memes, they didn't go, maybe they're right. Maybe we should stop voting Democrats and that will stop terrorism. Maybe they're right. I need to change the way I vote. I guarantee you, not one single person was persuaded, okay? We have to understand that Bill's still going to buy a Ford, okay? Doesn't matter. No, you're a Mopar guy, aren't you? Okay. You know, we're not going to be convinced by those things. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Next thing is this. Try to see things from the other person's perspective. That's a hard one. Maybe they suffered abuse from someone who believes just like you. Maybe their pastor was manipulative and controlling and harsh, you know. Or maybe their parents were believers and they were just not very gentle to them. Or maybe, you know, it's, we have to understand that other people have backgrounds that they're more than their opinions, you know. Maybe they're really passionate about the cause of their political party, and most people are. You know, it used to be like growing up, you know, the biggest difference between like Democrats and Republicans was sort of like, well, you know, Democrats were really kind of real pro-union and Republicans were more, you know, less organizational and more, you know, less power to the government. That was sort of like the two big deals growing up when I was, you know, between Republicans and Democrats. And now they're like, instead of like these small ideological differences, now there's these huge walls, you know, these huge separations between them. And, you know, maybe they're just passionate about those things. And when you attack their political party or you attack their stance on social issues, they feel like you're attacking them. And that stings, right? And I could feel it in the room when I showed those memes that there were people here that felt like they were attacked. And that was very personal for them, okay? And so we have to understand that they're people, that they are people. And if we try to see things from their perspective, because listen, when we don't, when we ignore that, it's so dangerous when we don't try to see things from their perspective, because it turns them into an other. You know what I mean by that? When you turn somebody into an other, when we turn people into others, it dehumanizes them in our eyes, okay? Those idiots, they voted for Trump. Or, those idiots, they're Democrats, and man, they just all want to give everything to the snowflakes, and they whatever, you know, right? And so they turn the people who don't believe the way they believe into others. In other words, something less than human, and it gives us permission to bash them. It gives us permission to see them as less than human, you know, which is totally opposite from Scripture, because what does Scripture tell us to do is to see others as what? Better than ourselves. To see others as better than ourselves. And we don't want to turn people into others, into less than human, you know, as if somehow it's okay to hurt them because we see them as the enemy, right? Recently, there was a demonstration on one of the college campuses, and it was between nationalists, right? A nationalist, they're doing a demonstration. And, you know, nationalists and liberals, they don't get along, do they? They're very, 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 very different. And so there was a nationalist demonstration, and one of the liberal professors put on a ski mask, and he went down to the demonstration, and he beat somebody up with a lead pipe, right? And why would he do that if him seeing that person as less than human? They're an other. For them to believe that is ridiculous. They're an enemy, right? And so we have this culture that sees people who don't believe the way that we do, who don't see things the way that we do, as something else, but not human, not an equal, you know, much less someone who's better than ourselves. And so we have to understand that line of thinking, where we stop trying to see from their perspective, where we stop trying to understand, where we stop the conversation, and it turns into this us versus them. You know, there is no us versus them, right? It's all us. And so we have to understand that, okay? And so, listen, that's not how Jesus sees other people. And when somebody disagrees with us, and somebody holds a different political affiliation, and somebody believes something else about gay marriage, or somebody believes something else about predestination, or somebody believes that, you know, something else about, you know, the rapture. I mean, sometimes that divides people. I've heard of people. I was talking to one guy, and he was like, no, I can't go to their church because they believe in a pre-trib rapture, and I believe in a post-trib rapture. You know, in other words, I can't go to their church because they believe, after what the Bible talks about is 7 years of tribulation, they believe that the rapture will come after that. But I believe that the rapture is going to happen before that because God's going to rescue everybody out of the tribulation, right? I know, it's just like, who cares, right? Jesus, right? And but those things divide. They divide people, okay? And so, listen, our enemy isn't a person. Your enemy is not a person. Your enemy is not a Democrat. Your enemy is not a Republican. Your enemy is not somebody who disagrees with Take a Knee or somebody who agrees with Take a Knee. Your enemy is the devil, right? Doesn't Scripture say our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour? Our enemy is the devil, and what he wants to do is divide and separate. Divide and separate. Hey, divide and conquer is nothing new, right? It's a strategy as old as time. He wants to divide and separate. The last thing is this. Understand that a person's opinions about politics, religion, or cultural issues is not a complete picture of that person. It's not a complete picture of that person. Okay? You and I are more than our political affiliation. All right? We're more than our stance on the latest awareness hashtag. Hashtag awareness. I'm just going to start hashtagging that. No cause, just hashtag awareness, okay? And we're more than our interpretation of free will versus predestination. We're more than our division between patriots and eagles, right? We're more than that, okay? A person's opinion is not a complete picture of that person. We are wonderful, complex individuals made in the image of God. We're made in the image of God. Okay, and we're purchased by the blood of Jesus. And when we start to see other people like that, wonderful, complex individuals made in the image of God, then all this stupid, divisive stuff just goes away. Okay? And so, even if we believe someone is tragically misguided, it doesn't mean that there has to be this irreparable damage, okay, for our love for each other, okay, in Christ. And so God has all truth, but we do not have perfect understanding of it. And so I want to close this morning. We're gonna close up, but what I want to do is I want to take a few minutes to discuss areas where we have a hard time seeing people through the eyes of Jesus, all right? And so we're just getting started. We got 4 more weeks of this, guys. So prepare to stay uncomfortable. Hey, that sounds like a good tagline. Prepare to like stay uncomfortable because we're going to do this for the next few weeks, and I promise you I don't have any more offensive memes for you, but we're going to have the worship team come up. We're going to do something. It's a little bit different, even different from what we normally do when we break up to have a little conversation. So what we're going to do is we're going to have the worship team come, and so we're going to sing a song together, okay? But what I want you to do, this is a new one, right? This is new. You don't have to sing along, but you're invited to stand and sing along. But I want you to let the words speak to you. Let them really penetrate your heart. And then we're going to break up into groups of twos or threes, okay? And if you notice on the back of your program, your bulletin, what did you call it, Sarah?
Guide.
Your guide. In the back of your guide, trying to move away from religious terminology like bulletin. And we're going to, so on the back of your guide, there are two questions, just two questions. And what you're going to do is you're just going to spend a couple minutes talking about them. The first question is this: what topic rubs you the wrong way when the opinion is different from yours? Okay? It could be politics, it could be religion, it could be sports teams or social justice, it could be economics, it could be whatever, okay? But what is that thing? What is that? Because everybody seems to have like maybe one or two topics, maybe one, where you just go, ooh. And yeah, it gets under your skin, it rubs you the wrong way. You just think, man, that person has to be absurd to think that, okay? And what is it? And then the other question that you want to answer is, why? Why? Because a lot of times, if we think back and we understand the why behind the way that we feel, sometimes we can go, oh, that's why I feel that way. And we understand the why, and we're able to not respond so with such vitriol, right? You might pronounce it karaoke, or you might pronounce it karaoke, but you don't have to get upset because somebody calls it karaoke. You see? That's it. That's an example right there. It's, okay, we need to talk, all right? I am made in the image of God. And so are you. So we're gonna. I want you to listen to this song, and then just don't even wait for me to come and tell you to break up. Just break up in your groups, twos or threes, and then you just say a quick prayer for each other. I'll come back and we'll close in prayer. All right? Does that sound good? Okay. All right. Let's do it.